Good morning, everybody. It is Thursday, November 7th, 2019, 10:06 a.m. I'm Commissioner Brian Crotchis. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. Also present with me are Commissioner Julie Fedorchuk and Commissioner Randy Christman. In terms of opening comments, this will be showing up on the announcements as we get to that portion after we get through the regular agenda items. But everyone, I believe, is aware we will be in Linton next week, and that will be for the Dakota Access Pipeline expansion. And that will be in at the Linton or the Emmons County Courthouse in Linton, again, North Dakota. And I just wanted a lot of questions are coming in about the process and the procedure that day. But I think the most important part from my perspective is that we have a constructive conversation that ultimately leads to having a productive hearing. And if that ensues, if that occurs, then all parties, interested parties, will be heard. And that's the goal of why we go to these various locations and venues. And it's also a part of statute that the hearing is held in the county in which the facility will be located. And this is a 22-acre parcel that will be the site for a pump station if they do receive permit approval. So I've had a few questions on whether or not why Linton, and because the law requires that we hold the hearing in Linton. It's that simple, and it's the appropriate place to have it because that is where the landowner is, or landowners in some cases when we go to these various venues, and also where interested parties are. But it's a part of statute, so it's an important part of the process as well. And again, I really do, I'm optimistic that we can have a constructive conversation and have a productive hearing next week, so I'm looking forward to it. That concludes my comments. Commissioner Fedorchuk.
I don't have any opening comments.
Commissioner Christman?
Nor do I, Mr. Chairman, except to say that I was expecting we might have some guests that aren't regulars, like our guests that are already here. And so if they do come, I might just ask to introduce them.
Oh, absolutely. That sounds good. Sounds good. Well, let's see, we have seven items on consent and the previous minutes. I move they be approved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay. I have one item on the regular agenda. I have withdrawn BK1 and BK2. So we're going to do a little more work on those. Should be able to get them on next week, but I do have one remaining, which would be BK3. And I move the commission grant withdrawal of the application Northern States Power Company, Advanced Prudence, Mankato Energy Center, application case number PU-18-403.
Second.
Okay, just a few comments on this. This was presented to the commission. It was, again, an advanced determination of prudence for a combined cycle gas plant that Xcel was proposing to buy from Southern Power, who currently owns it. It is a 345-megawatt facility. It would be it's identified as Mankato Energy Center 2. Mankato Energy Center 1 is already in operation. That was that actually did receive an ADP from the commission in 2005. I think it went online in 2006. So one of the reasons we had this on consent, because it's a withdrawal, but it underscores a couple of things. One, the energy mix continues to evolve and change. In this particular instance, while it certainly doesn't influence our decision, it can certainly influence the direction the company goes. But the Minnesota Commission did reject the purchase of this facility. So that, in turn, causes the company to adjust accordingly. What they are proposing to do is to buy the facility regardless, but to buy it through a subsidiary of Xcel. and then to enter into a purchase power agreement. So I bring that up because I fully anticipate this isn't the last we've heard of this particular project, that it will come back before the commission, not in the form of an ADP, but in all likelihood, an ADP for a power purchase agreement. So I anticipate that happening, but just there are just a lot of different things happening in terms of energy mix in the market today, and it's not becoming less complicated. I think it's becoming more complicated. And our job, of course, is to look out for the best interests of North Dakota ratepayers and not be influenced, of course, by decisions that are occurring in other states. But there is a ripple effect. There's no doubt about that. So we'll see if and when, and again, I suspect it will come back, and then we'll move forward at that point.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and that concludes my agenda items. Commissioner Fedorchak.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Russo Wind Partners, LLC. Russo Wind Project, Ward and McLean County, citing application case number PU-19-28.
Second.
So the company filed an application for this case back in July of 2019. We had a public hearing on June 17th of 2019. And after that hearing, a number of issues kind of came up, one of which was they notified us that they would not be able to install the aircraft detection lighting system due to concerns raised by the Minot Air Force Base. And the second was that they notified the commission that they no longer had a pending request to interconnect the project to the Great River Energy Station, Great River Energy Stanton to McHenry 230 kV transmission line in the MISO electric grid operations organization. And they're looking at a few different interconnection options with the Southwest Power Pool. So the feeling is that since these were facts that are different than what was discussed at the hearing, we should give the public an opportunity to respond to them if they have concerns. And so that's what this is. It's a notice of opportunity for hearing. If the public wants to offer any concerns, and it's just specific to the lighting and the interconnection matters, it isn't every issue in the case, then they should send comments or request a hearing to us by December 6th.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I will just say I appreciate that we're going this direction of opening this up for a notice of opportunity. I think the lighting is important, but I think at least more important to a larger number of people. Making sure that companies up in that area with whose networks we're not necessarily completely familiar, but that could be impacted if this would potentially cause congestion problems. I think just making sure they have a chance to comment or request a hearing is important. So thank you.
I do want to just mention that it was discussed at the hearing quite extensively that they planned on using the aircraft detection lighting system. And so I think it's appropriate to highlight that. But I also want to emphasize that it was always presented in relation to the fact that the Air Force or the FAA had to approve that system. And so technically, I think we don't really need to open this up for the lighting issue. And it's important, I think, for all of us to emphasize moving forward in future cases that they do, you know, have to get those approved by the FAA. And if they aren't, then they can implement them. So I think it's partly our burden to stress that to the public as well, that that those systems are kind of dependent on FAA approval, which oftentimes happens after the hearings are held.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you. My second motion, I move the commission adopt the order in Ashtabula Wind LLC, Ashtabula Wind Energy Center Repower, Siting Exclusion Certificate, Case Number PU-19-284.
Second.
So this is a case that was originally a project that was originally approved in 2008 by the commission, originally permitted, and it was originally permitted for a larger site, and then it was split off, and part of the turbines were sold to Otter Tail Power and part kept to the Ashtabula. So Ashtabula currently owns and operates 99 General Electric 1.5 SLE turbines at this site with a nameplate capacity of 148.5. Last July, they filed a plan to upgrade this site, and with adding new gearboxes and rotors, and increase the nameplate generation of the facility to 160.4 megawatts. So that is an amendment to the original certificate. The rotor hub height of the turbines will remain at 62.5 feet, so the turbines' towers will be the same height, but the new blades are larger, and they extend the rotor diameter from 252.6 feet to 298.6 feet. The existing turbine locations, towers, electric collection system, substations, operations and maintenance building, Met Tower will remain unchanged, and they will be using existing roads and temporary workspaces that were previously used during construction for this repower or expansion, as you want to, whatever you want to call it. Let's see. There are, they did a new sound assessment and shadow flicker assessment with the new blades. There are four participating receptors that may experience sound levels over 50 dBA and three receptors that may experience more than 30 hours per year shadow flicker. And the company has obtained waivers from all of those landowners that could potentially have those higher level of impacts. SHPO has concurred with this. They've reviewed it and concurred that there is no significant archaeological or architectural sites affected. Ashtabula will install lights using the light mitigating technology as soon as they receive approval from the FAA. They're agreeing to comply with all applicable conditions and protections in siting laws that are included in the original permit, and construction, operation, and maintenance of the proposed facilities will produce minimal adverse effects on the environment upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota. So this is, I think it might be the first of its, the first case where we've changed the blades on a wind facility. If I can't recall having gone through this again previously, so I think it is. We've heard talk about it, but I think this is the first time that companies actually proposed it and done the additional studies and come forward requesting this approval. I think they provided all that's needed, and I think the project is ready for approval.
I did talk to DEQ, Department of Environmental Quality. I'm trying to think if it was last week or the week before. I believe there might have been a couple of instances now where blades have been disposed in landfills. A lot of times, you know, and I'm probably guilty of this in terms of how I presented in the past, but when you look at the wind facilities in North Dakota, this is really the beginning of the next phase. We talk a lot about facilities on the ground. We talk about their life expectancy, and then we come up with decommissioning plans, which we've been working on. But really, the next phase for these facilities is to repower them. The blades don't last as long as the turbines, so we're going to see more movement with blades initially because these facilities are reaching that age where they either need to be retrofitted with new blades or be evaluated for different turbine sizes on maybe not as many pedestals. You may have 50 pedestals with 2 megawatts, 2 megawatt turbines, for example, and it may go to 33 at you know, whatever the number would be. I think I might have caught 30 at 3.33. So as an example, and that's not unusual. That's going to happen more and more. But I don't think we can just assume that at the end of their life expectancy, and I don't know that anyone on the commission does, but after 25 years, for example, they're not going to tear these facilities down in all likelihood. They're going to repower them. Because when you think about it, the easements are in place, landowner easements are in place, gathering lines are in place, the interconnect is established, which with the applicable regional transmission organization, and they have a lot of sunk cost. So they'll continue to attempt to monetize them with new turbines, and that's a reality. They're going to be around, frankly, for a lot longer than the initial 25-year expectancy that we often talk about.
I would agree with that. I think there's a couple things driving it. The blades are more efficient. They allow them to generate at a higher capacity levels typically, so I think that's a motivating factor. I think some of them are able to upgrade or reapply the production tax credits for a number of additional years if they upgrade and use that, so that's a pretty appealing scenario as well. And so I think that we will see this as kind of the new normal in the wind arena. And I think that, you know, the legislature envisioned this type of a process where you don't re-permit the whole thing. You get to, you know, look at it and upgrade using sort of the existing permit and modifying what needs to show that you're still under the minimal impact threshold. So I think that, it's going to, this will probably be the first of many we're seeing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Yes. And Ms. Chairman, a couple of things. And before I get into the discussion,
right,
if I could take a moment for a personal note. Good and longtime friend, former, but once a senator, always a senator, Senator Joey Miller, his wife Ashley and family just came in to visit us. Welcome. I served with Joey in the Senate. Well, he stayed longer than I did, but I think you were in from, 2008 to 2016?
Right.
Our Agriculture Committee Chairman. And it's honorable to walk away from it, to focus on your family and your farm, but we miss you in state government. So welcome to the PSC.
Yeah. And for people that, I'm sure the thousands that are viewing the broadcast today, you're probably wondering why we're all looking in one direction and smiling. And as Commissioner Christman just described, that's why. So, and then... Do you have some comments?
I do have comments.
I've got a few more, but go ahead.
Okay. So I seconded this for the purpose of the discussion. I am hoping that perhaps we could, in discussion here, maybe reach a resolution to make an alteration in this and go ahead and approve it, or if there's support for my concept, go to a work session or however it might play out. But I didn't ask it to be withdrawn if I happen to be the only one that is along this line of thinking. So getting into this repowering, one interesting thing here is the increased capacity is very minimal. These numbers don't come out precisely, but real general terms, these are going from about 1.5 megawatts to 1.6 megawatts. Still far from the scale of a lot of the new facilities that are being built. So I don't know. I expect that the hubs and foundations probably of some of these older being like a decade old only, turbines that were built at 1 or 1.5 megawatts are probably never going to be able to handle the kinds of blades and the kind of structure that's necessary to get 3 and 4 megawatt modern setups on them. I don't know, but I'm thinking that. But more importantly, then the reason of my concern is we're going down an avenue. The company in this application requested that we omit any designation of a specific megawatt threshold. However, in our notice of opportunity for hearing, we said this nameplate generation will increase from 148.5 to 160.4. So it's about a 12-megawatt increase for these 99 turbines. To eliminate the total capacity of it, if they can be repowered to something substantially larger, we don't know how large that's going to be in the future. I'll tell you that 15 years ago, I didn't imagine we could ever have 3 megawatt turbines out here on the prairie. So in another decade, I don't know, are we going to have 6 or 8 or 10 megawatt turbines? And yes, this 12 megawatts is not going to be a big congestion issue to anyone over in the area. But if down the road these 99 turbines become twice this capacity or maybe 4 or 5 times that capacity, this could cause huge congestion issues. So my hope, and I don't know if this would be all the language needed technically, but in the order, number 2, it says the second amended certificate of site compatibility number 7 is issued to Ashtabula Wind LLC, removing, if we replace that with increasing, the 200 megawatt designated capacity threshold and add to 212 megawatts or 215 to leave just a little bit of flexibility or something. But to completely eliminate that, and like I say, far out into the future, now there is no more capacity on it, and basically the sky's the limit on these 99 turbine sites, I think is not the best way for us to go, and I think we should keep the capacity limits on them.
Well, Commissioner Crisman, I mean, I have concerns about eliminating the capacity as well, but I feel like the legislature has established this as the procedure they want to use for energy conversion facilities in law and set forth expressly, you know, in the letter from the company, because the certification procedure set forth in NDCC 4922033 expressly contemplate and authorize activities that result in increases to facility capacity. And so they say Ashtabula Wind does not believe that the order and or certificate needs to even be amended. So because of the capacity level, that same with, you know, we're seeing this in other facilities like pipelines, et cetera, where they're expanding beyond the capacity that's contemplated in the original filing using this procedure established by the legislature in law. So I don't feel like we'd be consistent across the industries or consistent with what the legislature has established by continuing to maintain capacity thresholds in wind certificates. Even though I agree with you, there are concerns.
Well,
I think we need to take those to the legislature and have them add it differently for the wind then, if that's where we want to go.
We've continued to do transmission line sightings, and they say the kilowatt capacity of the facility. We have done natural gas processing plants that list the capacity of their processing plants. Also in the law is orderly development, and to impose something that could potentially go from, and I realize we're bouncing back and forth between where it says right around 150 to 200, and that has to do with different places that we're talking about, because some of this was acquired by Otter Tail, and then some places that's included and others not. But we're these 99 turbines could go from a megawatt and a half to hard telling how much, and cause enormous congestion problems, and that would not be orderly development. That's also called for in the law. I really feel, and I don't think I'm alone in this feeling, that law that was passed a couple sessions ago happened quickly near the end of the session. It probably went a little further than was intended. And until something happens that where someone builds something within a footprint that is causes troubles, it probably won't be addressed. But at that point, I think it will be addressed. And for us to just throw in the towel because of a law that I think is not real well written and say, well, anything we approve, it doesn't matter. Once we approve something, you can do anything you ever want in there. The sky's the limit. I'm not comfortable with that. I think we should continue to do these. If the company chooses to go outside of that, it might be something that ends up being the challenge and what causes the law to get clarified.
Or they can take us and our permit and challenge it themselves.
That's
the company
right.
can.
What
are you talking about in terms of congestion? What do you mean?
So right now the share of this that is Ashtabula, the one, let's say roughly 150, that this would increase to 160. As I mentioned, 15 years ago, I didn't imagine 3-megawatt turbines out here. So what if it doubles again? We used to do 1 or 1.5 megawatts, and now we're doing 3 and 4. So what if in 10 or 15 years, we're doing 6 or 8-megawatt turbine sites? And so now they come in, and this 99 turbines, instead of at 150 watts, now it's 600 or 800 megawatts. The transmission system probably up there is not capable of handling that.
Well, they have to upgrade their... They wouldn't be able to just change their interconnection to go from 200 to 600. That would have to be approved by the RTOs.
And when transmission lines are upgraded by the RTOs, there's a share of that that goes back to the whole network, not just to the company.
Agreed, but that's not part of siting. So that's
it's
outside
part
of the bounds.
Development.
I'm not comfortable with what you're proposing, so I think we'll have to go to a work session and talk to our attorneys about it. So let's just withdraw this and set up a work session and talk through it so that we're being consistent with this and other applications and dealing with them the same way, because I don't want to get going down a path that stumbles us on other cases. So
I wholeheartedly agree with that in terms of it's important that since we're just entering into this phase that we get it right. But I think just a couple other comments. I also think we have to be careful not to insert ourselves into the CEO role, for example, in various companies.
To a what?
The CEO role in terms of our job isn't to take the reins of a company and manage it in that respect. Our job, as you mentioned, is about ensuring orderly development occurs. But you know, I wrestle with this because I look at, for example, the Big Stone to Ellendale transmission line that was part of the, I believe, 17 MVP projects that MISO put forward. It was before my time on the commission, but it was unanimously approved. And those projects were designed for one thing and one thing only, and that was to, you know, well, I shouldn't say one thing, but primarily to alleviate congestion, but to create an on-ramp for renewable energy facilities to come online. And now we're seeing more and more downstream congestion. We talked about it I believe at the last meeting or in the last several weeks. I know I'm trying to think of what exact meeting, but the everything that was in the queue, the MISO queue this past time around, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think every last one has dropped out because of costs. So I agree with taking it to a work session and having further discussion on it, because I think it's more about how do we appropriately get involved. And what is our role? And making sure we're following legislative intent in all of this as well.
Yeah. To my in my opinion, the key issue here is how do we follow the legislative procedure established a few sessions ago for expansion of energy conversion facilities. That's kind of the issue, and it's come up a few different times in different cases, and we have different opinions about it, and we have to reach a point where we're being consistent across the board, treating all the industries the same. So I guess, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to withdraw that motion.
Okay. Steve, from a procedural standpoint, how do we?
Commissioner has asked to withdraw the motion. Is there any objection to her withdrawal request?
No. None.
Motion is withdrawn.
Okay. And then the final item, I move the commission assess an application fee of $10,000 and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Elite Clean Energy Glen Ullin Energy Center transfer of site certificate citing application case number PU-19-343.
Second.
So on April 1st, the commission adopted an order issuing the site certificate to Elite Clean Energy, designating a location for up to 50 wind turbine generators and 106 megawatts of capacity in Mercer and Morton counties. On October 23rd, Elite and Glen Ullin Energy Center LLC filed a joint application to transfer this certificate from Elite to Glen Ullin Energy Center LLC. And the issues to be those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing or to call the office and request a hearing. Those requests must be received by December 6th of 2019.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And that concludes my portfolio.
All right, thank you. And Commissioner Christman, I don't believe, have any?
The only thing I had, we hurried along in order to even advance the goal of getting farmers paid in that insolvency days by a week. And so we had the special meeting, and I appreciate everyone's willingness to accommodate scheduling and get that special meeting in and get that one out of the way. That was the only one I had for this time around.
All right. Thank you. In terms of announcements, we have an informal hearing at 1:30 today for Mid-Continent Communications. It's a designated eligible carrier. Application, it's case number PU-16-48, but it's here on the 12th floor of the Capitol at the PSC, and again at 1:30 p.m. On Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, November 12th at 9 a.m., a formal hearing, oral arguments for the Davis Refinery Appeal. That's case number PU-18-223. And then on Wednesday, as I mentioned at the onset, on the 13th of November, we have the formal hearing for case number PU-19-204, Dakota Access. And again, that's at the Emmons County Courthouse in Linton, North Dakota. So that will be starting on the 13th. And then our next regular commission meeting is on Thursday, November 21st at 10 a.m. At the usual location here at the State Capitol on the 12th floor. And that concludes. Oh, and I did miss one thing, and we also have an informal hearing that day on the 21st of November for case numbers PU-13-840. That's for MDU and Ottertail Power Company, and it's 345 kV transmission line siting application, as well as PU-19-298, which is Ottertail Power Company. That's a 69 kV transmission segment and three substations, and that is that one is a public convenience and necessity. The first, as mentioned, is a siting application. And we will now take a brief recess to take questions from the press. And then we'll just have to decide whether or not we take a short break after that, or I see the admin side, it looks pretty light, that part of the agenda. But we'll take a brief recess. This meeting is now in recess.